I'm going to send you the number to your Facebook. I'm going to send it to you right now. Okay, and then when
it's not an hour or another day.
All right. Oh, wait a minute.
But at this moment with my arms out.
Do you remember on Facebook?
I need you to make
the
way have you have done so many times. Through a window or an open door, I stretch my hand to thee. Come rescue me. I need you right away. I need you.
The Father right now. We need you right away. I know I felt like that. I felt like that recently. Lord, I need you right now, right away. I can't wait another second. I can't wait another minute. I can't wait another hour. Lord, I need you right now, right now, right now. I know that I've been to the point where I've said to God, I need you right now. God, if you don't step in right now, it's not going to be good. And God has stepped in, not because I threatened him, because he knew the seriousness of what was going on. But I praise God on tonight, hallelujah, that we can cry out to him and say, we need you, Lord God. We need you right away, because the Bible says, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth him and he delivereth him out of all his troubles. The psalm writer said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard me. He not only delivered me from my troubles, but he delivered me from all of my fears, from all of destruction that was around me. He delivered me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I find joy and I find comfort, hallelujah, knowing that I can cry out to God, hallelujah. When I can't cry out to anybody else, I know that I can cry out to God, hallelujah, glory to God, that he hears me, hallelujah. Not only does he hear me, but he answers me and he comforts me, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. That's enough right there for you to get your praise on if you know that God has answered you when you cried out to him, when you know you couldn't turn to anybody else. That's enough for you to get your praise on right there, that to know that when you were hurting and no one else understood, God understood, and he heard you, and he heard you, and not only did he hear you, but he answered you, and he comforted you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, on tonight, we have a guest, hallelujah, Apostle Brenda Thomas, and it's my fault, charges to my head, not to my heart, that I didn't schedule her on my blog talk, on the post and blog talk radio, but she's on the line tonight, and we're going to get her in here in just a few minutes. But before we do that, we want to go into prayer and just invite the Holy Spirit into this broadcast on tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you and praise you for this day. Father, we will first, before we go any further, we want to ask you to forgive us for our sins, God, for anything that we've said, anything that we've done, anything we've thought of that was not pleasing to you, that was outside of your will. God, we ask your forgiveness, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Anything, Lord God, anything, whatever it was, God, we ask your forgiveness in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you to cleanse us, Lord God. We ask you to purge us. We ask you to wash us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to come to this broadcast tonight. Come, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come into this broadcast tonight to teach us, to lead us, to guide us into all truth. Father God, I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that whoever is listening to this broadcast tonight, if they're not saved, Lord God, if they're not born again, if they don't know Jesus Christ and the pardoning of their sins, that they will be saved on tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for those who are listening, Lord God, who want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that you will fill them with the Holy Spirit, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, those that are backslidden, we ask that you will bring them back. Draw them nigh unto you, Father, for Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So, Father, we lift up Jesus on tonight so that all men will be drawn unto him. We lift up Jesus on tonight, hallelujah, that souls will be saved, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, and I pray that if anybody listens to this broadcast in the archives, Lord God, who is not born again, who has backslidden, who wants to be filled with the Holy Ghost, that you will grant it unto them, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we know that it's not your will that any should perish, but that all come to repentance, Father. And I just pray for them tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Those, Lord God, who have run the race, Lord God, but have looked back, Lord God, we ask that you bring them back, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Those that are tired, Lord God, on this journey, Father, I ask that you strengthen them and keep them, God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just thank you on tonight. I give you praise. I give you glory. I give you honor, Lord God. I lift you up, hallelujah. I lift up Jesus on tonight, hallelujah. Glory to God, that all, hallelujah, will be drawn unto him, hallelujah. Glory to God, in the name of Jesus. Father, those that are broken in their spirit, I pray for them tonight. Those, Lord God, that feel like they've been abandoned and abused and rejected, Lord God, and neglected, I pray for them tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord God, for those that are confused and don't know the way, Lord God, I pray for them tonight, that you will draw them, God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that you will word, hallelujah, Apostle Brenda's mouth, Lord God, that what the word that she speaks will fall on good ground. We pray, oh God, that all of us will be hearers and doers of the word that comes forth on tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for it right now. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Hallelujah. On this night, Lord God, in Jesus' name, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. I bless your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. For you are worthy, God. You are worthy. Hallelujah. And I glorify you right now, God. Hallelujah, Lord. I lift you up. I bless your name, Lord God. For you are worthy. Hallelujah. You are worthy, Lord God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. And I glorify you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we're going to bring on Apostle Brenda right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Apostle Brenda, can you hear me? Hallelujah.
Yes, Evangelist. Yeah, I hear you well.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord tonight. Hallelujah. And I thank God. Hallelujah. That on June the 18th, 2012, hallelujah, that we are still here. Hallelujah. And able to praise God. Hallelujah. Able to still give him praise. Hallelujah. You know, Apostle Brenda, I want for you to introduce yourself to the people and, you know, tell them a little bit about you and your ministry. Glory to God. Because we've spoken on the phone several times, but I really don't know that much about you. So I'd like for you to tell our listening audience about your ministry and what you do, and then just go on with the broadcast and whatever the Lord gives you to say.
Praise the Lord. I would like to first say that he is my Lord. He is my shield. He's like the Lord. He's the lifter of my head today. I thank God for the Lord saving me from, oh God, I guess 30, 42 years ago, and has taken me through the valley, through the wilderness, ministry, through the experiences of God. But through it all, I've learned him to be my Savior. I thank God that he called me up out of the mire, the muck, and the Lord has placed me truly on the solid foundation. I was one that was involved in snorting cocaine, dropping pills, smoking ashes. I was just lost in sin, but I thank God when he called my name, hallelujah, I did hear and I did respond. May not have been the first response, but I nevertheless did respond, and I'm so thankful to God. By the grace of God, I am saved today. I've been a minute, I guess, 24 years now, ministering in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. My heart cries out to those that need to be reconciled by to God. I believe in the spirit of the ministry of reconciliation, restoring back to the body those that are lost, such as I was. And I thank God for the redemptive act of Calvary tonight. I thank God that I just want to reach out to the unreachables, to those that feel like nobody loves them, those that feel like nobody cares, those that just feel like they're just walking through this life, you know, hopeless and without a purpose. But I come tonight to tell them that there is freedom in the Spirit of God. They just reach out and receive Jesus Christ, that he is the Savior. Hallelujah. And that his blood can wash them and cleanse them, even as it has done ours. And that we won't have to ever look back at what we were, but we can press on towards the high call, which is in Christ Jesus. So, I thank you for the opportunity, evangelist. I was able to, I met you through, one of my members, actually, and you called me, and then I was able to talk to your husband, G-Man, and we had an awesome experience with God over the phone. And so God just joined to connect those that need to be connected together to get his job done, and all glory be to God. All glory be unto God. So tonight you'd ask me, I think at the beginning of the month, what I minister on, freedom in the spirit. Freedom in the spirit. And so that's what I want to kind of talk about tonight, is being free. We just experienced Memorial Day, Memorial Holiday in May, and we're approaching 4th of July coming up in a couple of weeks, and we honor those that fought for freedom for us, and we are celebrating the independence of what was lost. But I tell you, all that they've done, all that they've sacrificed, loving, caused me to be seen the spirit of the blood of Jesus Christ.
I know that's right.
Yes, I come tonight to let those that are on this airway know that if they desire to be free, if they desire to seek the face of God, if they desire to know God, if they just desire to look up and live, they can tonight. If they just desire for a change in their life. I don't know about you, but when I was in my sin state, you know, I did what I wanted to do. I did what I was big enough to do. I did whatever I thought I could do. You know what I mean? I'm out of my mother's house. I'm out of my father's house. Now I'm a married woman. Let me just do what I want to do. But I thank God for Jesus. I may have went around many mountains, and had many valley experiences and wandered in the wilderness. But I am so thankful of seeing the Lord love, seeing the Lord love to chasten. Glory to God. There's a scripture in Galatians 3:26, for you are all the children of God by the faith in Jesus Christ. So we need to understand tonight. That's what I wanted to first identify to the church with that, the fact that we need to identify its origin. Where does freedom come from? Where is the freedom in the spirit? How do you even understand that you are a spirit? Well, in Genesis 1:1, it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the sea. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So here we have the introduction of the Spirit of God. And then over in the 26th verse, he decides that the Spirit of God.
Pastor Brenda, Apostle Brenda, your phone, you're going in and out. You're going in and out. Like, I can hear you a little bit, but you're fading in and out.
Okay, let me.
Hello? Hello? Okay. Apostle Brenda? Okay, I think she hung up so that she can try to call back in because her line was a little fuzzy there. I see we have several people on the line. If anybody would like to speak with me or Apostle Brenda when she comes back on, press that 1 so that you can get on. We have area code 973, area code 215-904, area code 908-486, and area code 215-747. If you'd like to get back, get on the air to ask a question, give a comment or anything, just press that 1 and we'll get you on the air. In the meantime, I'm waiting for Apostle Brenda to come back on. And while we're waiting for Apostle Brenda to come back on, I wanted to say that, you know, there are a lot of people in the body of Christ who are hurting for some reason or other. You know, they haven't gotten past the hurt that they've been dealing with. And Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday and Friday, week after week, they continue to go to church and they have this hurt and they have this pain and has not been addressed. And they're not yet free in the spirit because they go to church and they put on a mask and they, you know, nobody's identifying with them so that they can be able to break free from whatever it is they're going through. But I want to let you know tonight that there is freedom in the spirit, and you may be broken and you may be bruised and you may be confused and you may be scarred or whatever the case is, but there is freedom in the spirit. And if you will continue to listen on tonight, you will get some tips and you will get some word, the word of God that will help you to get free on tonight. I believe we have Pastor Brenda back on the line. Let me see. Apostle Brenda, is this you?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you sound so much better.
I'm on the house phone.
All right. Carry on from where you were.
I was in Genesis, the first chapter of Genesis, and I was talking about identifying the origin of our existence, and we must first understand that to have freedom in the spirit, we must first realize that we are a spirit, that we've come from a spirit. And the Bible says that God is a spirit. And it says in John 4:24 that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then in Genesis, when we looked, it said that he said, let us make man in our image after the likeness of our likeness.
Mm-hmm.
God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. And then it says he created him male and female, created them.
Yes.
So it shows us that we have not just come from our parents, but the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says that the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, that your spirit, soul, and body be blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we talk about God in three persons, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And then it shows us here that we, being as human beings, we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we just live in this body.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important for us to understand that, you know, that we are spiritual beings, that we are spiritual beings, and that our existence came from Him.
Yes.
And then, you know, we're talking about freedom. So if a person needs to be free, it lets me know at some point there was some bondage. There was something that he was enslaved in. There was something that had a hold on him. When I begin to look at the definition, it says a state of being free, at liberty rather than in confinement, or wonder, or under physical restraint. So, you know, we have people that are physically, they walk around like living dead. They're in the world, but they're so oblivious to the things that's in the world, much less to the Spirit of God.
Mm.
You know, people walk around as if they're in a mummy state. You know, they're just being consumed by the world and the things of this world and their cares and their concerns. But my Bible tells me that, you know, in faith, in our faith in God, in our faith in God as His children, there's liberty for us.
Yes.
There's liberty for us, you know. And when we talk about, as I was saying earlier, about Memorial Day, you know, as those that have, you know, fought many wars and have lost their life for the freedom of their country. But, you know, has that really made us free? You know, it may have made us free to having folks come into our land and taking over our land. But we're talking here about a spiritual freedom.
Yes.
We're talking about being in this world, but yet not of this world. We're talking about, even though, you know, the economy is the way it is, even though, you know, people are losing their jobs, losing their houses, but when you're in Christ, you don't lose hope. You don't lose faith. You know, you're able to look up to the Spirit of creation, the Spirit of grace, and realize that it's in Him that we live, that we move, and that we have our very existence. And He says that I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So, you know, I'm no longer satisfied with just living as I was, you know, maybe in my 20s. I'm not just satisfied with going out partying, smoking a joint, or doing a line of cocaine and just think that's bringing freedom to me. No, the Bible says that he cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the ultimate goal of the devil. I mean, nobody sees him, but we see the works of him. Come on here. And if you have eyes, you know, the Bible says we have eyes, but we see not. We have ears, but we hear not. But God is real. We did not create ourselves. We have learned, evangelists, that, you know, through whatever state that we're in, that we can call out to Him, that He will hear our despairing cry.
Thank you, Jesus.
That He will hear our despairing cry. But we have to put faith and confidence in Him. In Him. So, you know, you have many people that are in church, but the Bible talks about them having vain religion. You know, they have a form of godliness, but they forsake the power thereof.
Come on now.
You know, they have a form of godliness, but they forsake the power thereof. So when we talk about liberty, when we talk about freedom in the spirit, we're talking about being able to be free from those things that hold us captive, those things that hold us down, those things that we are slaves to. Hallelujah. Those things that, you know, that just sometimes just overwhelm us and just have us speechless. You know, you desire to communicate, but you're so bound by your thoughts and by your emotional being that you can't even communicate with people.
Well,
and so this is what the Lord has done. You know, He's come for those who will receive Him. He said, He gave His life, His very life. Hallelujah. God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. And that all we have to do is just believe in Him, in Him, in Him, in Him alone. It's amazing how we have so much confidence in our cars. We have confidence in men and women in flesh. But the Bible tells us to put no confidence in these things.
Yes.
Because they will fail us. You know, this is why you see people that have been married, you know, 30, 40, 50, 20, 15 years. Marriages are just being dissolved. People are just walking away from relationships. Children, fathers are walking away from their children. Mothers are walking away from their children. It seems like there's no love in the land anymore, not even siblings toward siblings. Why? Because people are in bondage. They're choosing everything to appease their appetite. But they're leaving out the spirit of the living God, leaving out the spirit of truth, that would set us free. You know, and it is time for us to believe. People have all their investments in Wall Street and all these things. We see how that has plummeted, how stocks have fallen, how everything is being. The value is being depreciated because God is wanting us to look to Him to live, not looking at our houses, not looking at our land, not looking at the things that we build, because all of that is hay and stubble, not looking at the gold and the silver, but looking to Him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. It is Him. I'm fully persuaded, Evangelist, that when I close my eyes, that when I leave this shell of a body, that I will be present with the Lord. Fully persuaded. How did I come off of? How did I come out of the sin nature? How did I walk away from partying? You know, how did I walk away from being a whoremonger? How did I stop depending upon drugs to be my fix? How did I get free from those things?
How did you?
I receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Who the Son has set free is free indeed.
Amen. Amen.
You know, over in Galatians, it says over here, let me see. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ have made us free. Freedom only comes in Jesus.
Yes,
it only comes through the blood of Jesus. It only comes through the washing of Jesus. It only comes in you receiving the act of Calvary.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. He says, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So you have people that have a form of religion, those that are not receiving the Spirit of God, those who are not wanting to walk in the Spirit of God, those who do not want to receive the fruits of the Spirit, those who are not receiving the gifts of the Spirit, these people are bound. They're still sitting in the church being whores. They're still sitting in the church being backstabbers. They're still sitting in the church being controlled and manipulated by the evil one. The father of delusion, the father of lies, the one that controls the lust of your flesh, the lust of your eyes, the one that caused you to be proudful.
Jesus.
But when you receive Jesus Christ, when you receive Him, your whole life is changed. You say, Paul, I once was blind. I once was lost. But now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I'm reminded of the story of the Apostle Paul. Even on his conversion, as he was going around killing, slaughtering the church, doing what he wanted to do to anyone that walked in the way of God, those that desired to live and pursue after holiness. The Bible said he incarcerated them. He was murdering them. But he had a visitation on Damascus Road. The Spirit of grace overtook him. And he began to cry out, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, how did he know? Because it's the same thing with us today. It tickles me how I hear people talk about something said, something told me.
Mm-hmm.
That's mind-boggling to me. They can call it everything but what it is. The Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost of God that speaks to us, the one that leads us and guides us, the one that would say to us, even when we were lost in sin, don't go down that road. you know, deviate from their detour, go another way. And then you find out that if you obeyed, what did he do? He intercepted something. He intercepted something that would have robbed you of your life, would have taken you from your peace, could have took you out of your sanity.
Yes.
God is awesome, but we won't give him. People will not give him his just reward. But I'm so thankful that he has set me free today.
I'm so thankful that
I'm not ashamed to say what I was, because what I was does not hinder me from where I am today.
Amen.
And if it wasn't for his blood, where would I be? If it wasn't for me understanding that I, too, had to take up my cross and to follow him, that I, too, had to take some things and to nail on the cross, that I had to die to my will, to my thought pattern, to the things that I was exposed to in life, to the things that I was told, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, for us, you know, not to be caught up in the philosophy of men, the distance of this world. The rudiment of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And so people nowadays, they will lead you to astray. Just as they can. But my Bible is a study to show thyself approved unto God.
Right.
A workman that need not be ashamed, but one that can rightly divide the word of truth.
Yes.
How do we learn this? By seeking God's face on a daily basis. Oh, you can feel him for you. You can feel him when he tells you to rise up. You can hear him speaking. Whether you want to call him something or somebody said, you know that it's a voice that's not yours.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. The devil doesn't tell you to do anything good.
So don't.
He tells you nothing positive. Anything that he's going to tell you is going to be something negative about someone or something that's going to take and lead you into destruction. But when the Spirit of God speaks to you, he's encouraging you. He's empowering you.
Yes.
Glory to God. He's teaching you. He's guiding you into all truth.
Yes, that's right.
And he will show you yourself.
Yes,
and
he will.
And I'm so thankful to God that God would not just put us on display. He would not just openly rebuke us, not unless he's constantly calling us by our name, and we're constantly, as the fool, saying there is no God. We constantly turn our back from him. We constantly say, oh, it's not my time. I remember when I said, Lord, come to me when I get in my 50s, and I was 30 then. But let me tell you something. I went through just like Jonah. I went through my own hell. So when I got tired of hell, when I realized that I was in the bowels of hell, is when I stretched out my hand and I began to call on the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Lord, deliver me.
Yes.
And most of the time, we need to be delivered from ourselves.
Yes, ma'am.
We're our own enemy. It's that's within me that destroys me. And I want to look at Evangelist, if I can, in Romans 8. Can I go there for a minute?
Sure.
Go right in Romans 8, he says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Yes.
So it's a learned behavior. It's something that you have to commit to. It's the same way we committed to the job, committed to getting an education, committed to our spouses, committed to being a good mother, a good father. It's the same way we must commit to the Spirit of the Most High God. We must pursue after him, because as we walk in our flesh calls us to die. The Bible says the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So, you know, I love the way Paul said it. Let me read what he said as well. Glory to God. We have to identify the sin that is within us. Look what he says over in Romans, the 7th chapter. The 10th verse. He said, in the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin taketh occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. So the Lord said it was going to rob, kill, and destroy. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made dead unto us? God forbid. For sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. He says, the wages of sin is death.
Mm-hmm.
The pay that we get for constantly sinning is going to be death. But the gift of God, which is Christ Jesus, is eternal life.
Yes.
Is eternal life. So Paul says here, well, we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold unto sin.
Sold
unto sin. For that which I do, I allow not. So this is it. For what I would, that I do not. For what I hate, that I do. So let's just break that down in layman terms. The things that we need to do, the right things, we don't do. We desire to do them, but we don't do them. The things that we shouldn't do is the things that we find it easier to do.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And it is right. And he said, why? He said, because it says, he said, now then, it is no more I that do it, but it's sin that dwelleth in us, in me. So we have to acknowledge that there's sin that's in you. And, you know, people always say, you know, well, Reverend, you know, as soon as I get my clothes together, I'm coming to church. As soon as I get my life back together, I'm coming to the church. Well, let me tell you something. If it was in your capability, in your power to do it, you would have done it a long time ago.
Yes.
If you could have freed yourself from the bondage of sin, you would have done it a long time ago. Our parents would have done it a long time ago. These generational curses wouldn't be trickling down from generation to generation. Come on here. If it was that easy.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to receive the Lord. He became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God, that we might get in right standing with God. So, you know, when he says over in John, you know, they must worship. Now is the hour that God is looking for true worshipers, those that would worship him in spirit and truth. You know, going to church making a whole lot of sounds, you know, being like sounding brass and tinkling cymbals, that's not worship. You know, worshiping is knowing the worth of God, knowing the price that he's paid for you, knowing the sacrifice that he's given, knowing that he's a present help there for you, knowing that he loves you unconditionally, knowing that when you cry unto him, that he'll hear, knowing that as far as the east is from the west, so will he separate your sin when you come to him and choose to repent and be converted.
Yes.
We need repentance that will bring forth fruit of repentance, not just lip service. I remember. I Lord, if you deliver me from this, I won't do that. God, if you one more time, God, if you deliver me from this. But you know what? After a while, it's the same thing with our parents. After a while, it's the same thing with your children. If they keep coming to you lying over and over and over, a repeated offender, do you listen to them?
No.
You lose all confidence and all faith in them. You don't want to hear anything that they say. But I'm so grateful to God that his love for us is unconditional.
Yes, it is.
But I want you to know, people, tonight, that within your members, within your body, there's a war going on. There's a war going on. But we see, when you get into this Word of God, this Word of God will bring you peace. This Word of God, he says, you know, great is the peace of them that love the law of God, and nothing shall offend them. So when you get into this Word of God, in this mirror of God, you'll begin to see yourself, and God begin to wash you clean. And then you won't be so emotional. You won't always having to have somebody explain to you what they said, and oh, you said this, and I meant that. No, you perceived it wrong. You know, people can drive you crazy when you said something so innocent, and because of where they are and where they're emotionally a basket case, they have you go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Lord sets you free, then your mind becomes free. You're no longer that double-minded man. You're no longer fearful of what people say. You're no longer fearful of what people do. You're no longer fearful of even what the devil can do, because you begin to realize who you are in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
He says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, from this body of death? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, what's the mind? I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. See, it takes the mind, the spiritual part of you to serve God. Out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. So if your heart is full of bitterness, if your heart has not been transformed, if your heart is still hard and cold from the things of life, the things people have said and done, and even the things that you've done yourself that you are ashamed of, you're bound. But he says we are. For those that are in Christ Jesus, you've got to be in him. You've got to be in him. He said there's no condemnation. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ have made me free from the law of sin of death. What happened to Brenda Thomas? What happened when she put down the cocaine? What happened when I turned away from the reefer? What happened when I stopped whoring? What happened when I put down the pills that I used to drop, trying to find a peace of mind? What happened? I became addicted to God. I became addicted to praise, to worship. I began to taste of his word. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord thy God, he is good. I found out that he was not the God of my mother or the God of my grandmother, but he became my God. I began to understand the worth of God. I began to understand the price of giving up his son on the cross for me. I began to understand the value of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
I began to understand, glory be to God, his death, his burial, and glory be to God, his resurrection. I begin to understand, hallelujah, that when I begin to call on that name of Jesus, that resurrection power will begin to rise me up from my sin-sick nature. And as I walk day by day with him, hallelujah, with him leading and guiding me, glory be to God, I became free day by day by day. And stability began to come back in my life. Suicidal tendencies began to leave. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak to the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. It's not your struggle anymore. All you need to do is reach up and receive Jesus today. And I'm sure after this broadcast that Evangelist Steve is going to lead you to Calvary. And I pray, God, that tonight that you receive him as your Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Look what he says. He says that the righteousness, the law, may be filled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. In other words, if you keep laying with Johnny and Jackie and Jody and Mike, guess what? All you're going to get up is get up with more demons transferred in you.
Uh-oh.
The Bible says, know you not that your body is the temple of God.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. If you lay down with a whore, you become a whore.
Mm.
If you lay down, my mother used to always say, if you lay down with a dog, you're going to come up with fleas.
Fleas. Mm-hmm.
Huh? You keep laying with this one, that one, looking for satisfaction. The only satisfaction that is guaranteed you is in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only satisfaction. The Bible says, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So when you learn to put down carnality, when you learn to turn away from appeasing your flesh, when you learn to throw your cigarettes away, when you learn to turn away from that wine, when you learn to turn away from those things that are addictive, when you learn to turn away, my God, from this man that night and this woman that night, and these women that are sleeping with women and these men that are sleeping with men, my God, when you turn from these that the world says, okay, when you turn away from the world, you'll begin to live as a son of God.
Mm.
But you got to turn away. You cannot be as a dog that keeps turning back to his own vomit. You must learn to walk away and say, enough is enough. Enough is enough. The Bible says, because the carnal mind is hostile, it's enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. This is why when the children of the Most High God come to you, for those that are not saved, those that are not trying to seek God, when you see the holy man, the anointed man, the woman of God come, you get turned off automatically. You get an attitude. Let me build up my defense so this man don't come get in my face talking this Jesus crap.
Uh-oh.
I used to run away from my aunt. Oh, God, I said, here come the holy roller. But I'm so thankful to God. I'm so thankful to God that the effectual prayers of the righteous availeth much. So thankful for the praying mothers and fathers. I'm so thankful for the word of God that will not return back void tonight. I'm so thankful that it would accomplish that to where it's sent tonight. I'm so thankful that this broadcast is not just for naught. That this word is going on the airways and that it's reaching people. And let me tell you something, that it is accomplishing it's accomplishing that to where it is sent. And I'm telling you that your time is up. I'm telling you, hallelujah, that if you're on the airways, that this is your appointed day. Hallelujah, heart and not your heart. I'm telling you that by the Holy Ghost of God, that God has come to arrest you tonight. I'm telling you, glory be to God, that this ministry is just as effective if you will come and sit into the household of faith and congregate with a bunch of people. I'm telling you that God's spirit is not limited by a building. It's not limited by numbers of people. It's not moved by the multitudes. It's moved by two or three that are just believers. And when we come together agreeing and touching, God said that he would be in the midst of us tonight. And I'm telling you that if you desire to be free, God will set you free. And it's only until you have a change of heart and open up the door and let him in. For he says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock.
Yes, 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 yes.
At the door of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the word of God says, for we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the flesh do mortify the deeds of your body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Amen.
But ye have not received the spirit of bondage. Hear what he says? You have not received the spirit of bondage. If you are bound, you're bound because you want to be. If you are bound, you're bound because you like that place. If you're bound, you're bound because you love the attention that you get in your bondage. If you're bound because you're too lazy, too slow to rise up and fight for your own life or get someone that will pray a prayer for you to help you until you rise up in strength, you're bound because you still choose to say, cry out for help. And let me tell you something. When I was out there, and my husband, which was a heroin addict, we didn't have to go throughout the streets and beg anybody for drugs. Let me tell you something. If one person didn't have it, got on the phone to call somebody else. And if somebody else didn't have it, they called somebody else. You know how we did.
Mm-hmm.
and was all for one, one for all. Well, how come in the spirit of grace, how come as saved Christians of God, how come as saved believers of God, how come as men and women of faith, we can't do the things that we did when we were lost in sin? How come we can't gather together? How come we can't call a prayer network, a prayer line, and begin to lift up this one, that one, or the other? How come when we see someone that was taken by a sin such as we were, that we won't even go and encourage them? How come? What are you afraid of? Who are you afraid of? What are you bound by? And let me tell you something. If you don't tell anybody your testimony, you're still in bondage. He said, we're overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. So if you're too proud to share about your yesterday, I tell you that you are not free. You are not free. But tonight, you can cry out, Abba, Father.
Yes.
The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then we're heirs and heirs of God. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, then we will be also glorified with him.
Yes. Apostle
today,
Brenda. Apostle.
Receive him.
Amen. I just want you to minister to the people, because you are talking about praying the Spirit, and I want you to minister to the people who are in church every week and are still bound, those that are putting on a face that everything is okay, but when they go home, you know, they're secret drinkers. You know, they have the bottles at home put away, so in case somebody from church comes by, they won't see them. But, you know, when nobody's there, they're drinking or popping pills or getting high. Can you minister to those people, too, so they can be free as well? Because I've encountered people who are claiming to be Christians, and I'm not saying that they're not, but they're claiming to be Christians, but they're still, you know, secretly going through because of maybe, you know, they had a situation in their life long ago that was bad, a rape or a molestation or kids taken away from them. And secretly, they're using drugs or alcohol, but the people in church don't know it. And since no one said anything to them, you know, either they think they're getting away with it, or some people just don't know who to go to talk to concerning these situations. Can you minister to them on that for a few minutes?
Well, you know, Evangelist, the Bible talks about it. This is in James, the chapter, the first book of James. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. 22nd verse. Deceiving your own self. And if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, that man shall be blessed in his deeds. And so, Evangelist P, it's a matter of coming to grips and coming out of denial about where you were. It's simple. It's no different from those people than, to me, the people that are just coming to Christ. And even, you know, it even would be more of a struggle for those that have been not been out of the ark of safety. But, you know, to know to do good and do it not, the Bible says it's sin. So for that person, the way I see it, is that there's still some pride in them. There's some things that they don't want. There's still that spirit of condemnation. There's some things in them that they don't want to admit that it was them. It was things that you know, that they must learn how to release and to give it all over to Christ. And when God shows us, you know, the Holy Spirit, that third person of the Trinity, he's a revealer. And so when the Holy Ghost of God, because it's the Spirit of truth, when the Spirit of truth comes, he said he will bring us back to our remembrance, those things that were said. And not only those things that were said scripturally, those things that that was said biblically, but those things that have been said and done to us in as children, those things that may have been so painful that we buried and placed, you know, covered over and gone into another place so we don't have to deal with them. But the Holy Spirit of God, the hallelujah, the Spirit of God, that Word of God, it goes into us. We can boldly come to God, tell God where we are. See, this is the problem. He says, you know, if we ask, we can be set free. If we ask, hallelujah, the answer will come. If we seek God with our whole heart, hallelujah, He's faithful. He's just to forgive us. So
yes.
If we just want to know where we are, if we just, you know, there's things that parents have hid from us, there's things that has been hid from generations and generations that the old folks don't want to talk about. But I'm going to tell you something. The Spirit of truth will tell you and reveal all things, but are you ready to receive it? And at the same time, once He reveals it, just don't say, oh, that's impossible. You can't receive this in your natural mind. You have to understand that because you are God's sheep, and God hears your voice, that you also hear Him. And therefore, when He begins to lead you and guide you and show you how to come up out of your deliverance, you know, whether it's fast today, whether it's to stay away from this person tomorrow, whether it's just to study this particular word, this particular scripture, saying it for months, for years until you get free, you have to do what God has contoured for this word to fit for you.
Yes, amen.
You know, but you know, as long as you sit in there and put on your little white suit and put on your Gucci's and your three-piece suits and your hats and you're in a competitive social arena, guess what? You're not allowing the Spirit of grace to come in because deliverance is not pretty. When a mother's travailing, delivering that child, that is the bloodiest, ugliest sight there is. But the fruit will come forth. So it's the same thing. The same thing, those things that have been done to us, molestation, rape, incest, all those things, you know, witnessing murders, these things, they are painful things. But guess what? It was the things that the enemy tried to do to cause you to be stolen from, to rob you and to steal you from life, and that's abundant in God. So when you turn back to God, when you depend upon the Lord, when you depend upon the Word of God, when you say, I've come in the volume of the book, anything that you need to know about yourself, I'm telling you, it's here from Genesis to Revelation. And if you so choose to eat the roll, this Word of God is a medicine. It may go in bitter. You may not like the way it tastes at first, but guess what? It's going to produce sweetness. It's going to produce honey.
Yeah.
So you have to tell your own self, you got to be true.
And it's not always easy.
It is not always easy. It is not easy at all.
No, and I say that from experience for whoever's listening right now and whoever may be listening in the archives later on. But I am saying this from experience because I went through some horrific things in my life, and I kept saying, God, I want to be free. I want to be free. But I really was still holding on to a part of that. Stuff that I had gone through in my life, and I held on to it as a badge of some kind of I don't even know what to call it, but it was some kind of badge that I held on to it, and I felt like I was hurting the person, which was crazy, like it was affecting the person that had affected me, and it wasn't. I was the only person being affected by it. But one day, I cried out to God. I said,
yes.
I said, really, God, I need to be free. Like, I can't take it anymore. Like, I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to keep going to church and I'm messed up. I don't want to keep going to church, you know, and talking to other people, but really I'm messed up. And, you know, when you've been rejected and raped and molested and all kind of things that happen in your life, you know, you grow up and you become a bitter person, a hateful person. And you use excuses. Oh, well, they did this to me and they did that to me.
Justifies, Pastor.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
So, and we do those things. And I did that for years. I was in church. I did this for years. I was a choir director. I was in ministerial class. I went on missions trips. I was, you know, director of two daycares. I mean, there was things that I did in life. But on the inside, I was messed up. I was messed up. And not only was I messed up, I was hurting people as well. But one day, I tell you, I lie not to you, I was in my bedroom, and I cried out to God, and I'm telling you, the Spirit of God, he started doing some things. He started healing me. He started helping me to understand some things. He caused me to begin to repent for, you know, holding on to the anger and the hate that
Absolutely.
I was holding on to. And holding on to it because I wanted to hurt other people because I had been hurting.
That's
See,
right.
When, like you said, when that child comes forth through labor and delivery, that's a horrible mess. And that's how I felt when I was being delivered. I was like, oh my God, it was painful. It was ugly.
Very painful.
It was a mess. And I'm telling you, I screamed. I just screamed and just screamed because God was healing me, and He was taking that hurt. He was taking. I was letting Him take it. I was giving it to Him. Here you go.
But you know what? You know what?
I was holding it. It was too much, and I finally got to the point where, you know, I just don't want this anymore. God, I need to be healed. God, I need to be healed. And He started the healing process. And I tell you, I'm glad He did, because I don't
know
if I would be here right now.
And you wouldn't. We wouldn't. But you know, that's no different than you know, a tumor or growth growing in your body, and the more it's there and it's not being taken care of, it grows, right?
Right.
And then you know, other organs can begin to attach and grow to it. So if you neglect it, I mean, it's deeper that they have to go in and cut. It's deeper that they have to go and get that thing, you know.
Yes.
And it's just like, you know, tonight, I really believe that this is the appointment for someone, for some people.
Yes.
It's time to be set free. Now, as you were talking, Psalms 105 came to my heart. And the 19th verse, it says, until the time that His word came, the word of the Lord tried Him. So, you know, you said you were in church for many years. Well, I was in church for many years. And there's people that have been there sitting on the same pew doing the same thing. And they're full of the word. But they don't—they're not receiving the operation, the power of the word. See, it's one thing to quote it, but it's another thing to become it. You know, but the Lord says, you know, until that time that His word came, the word tried Him. So we have been tried. You know, we were tried with that word. But when the appointed time comes, when that day came, when that time of destiny came for us to be free, and all those years that we said, God, I don't want to be like this, I don't want to feel like this, I don't want to make people miserable because I'm miserable, because misery loves company, guess what? When God decided that, okay, she's really ready to be for deliverance now, you had that last cry. It was the deepest cry from your being, from your existence, but when you cried, snot rolled, you got up a free woman.
Yes. Yes.
And so did I. And so did I.
And thank God for that. Woo,
yes.
Thank God for that, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
Amen.
And if we don't know this, if we don't know that we truly can go to God, if we don't believe that we can truly go, nobody has done anything. There's nothing that anybody has done that is so bad that God won't forgive you, except you walking around blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Okay?
Say it.
But I'm telling you, God is a just God. He's a healing God. He's a loving God. He's a forgiving God. And He will forgive us if we go to Him and ask Him. He will heal us if we go to Him and ask Him. We don't have to depend on people, because let me tell you something. People can't heal you. God is the healer.
No.
God is the healer. You know, listen to the word of God, though. Whoever is on the phone line, whoever is listening to this in the chat room, whoever is listening to this in the archives, I would ask you to trust God. I would ask you to trust God, because He won't fail you. God will not. He will not turn His back on you. But you got to do like Apostle Brenda Thomas said. You got to be true to yourself. You got to be real with yourself, because as long as I blamed everybody for everything that went on
yes.
in my life, as long as I kept doing that, I didn't become free. When God revealed to me, even about me being raped, when He revealed to me that I had a part in that thing, and I told the truth about it, okay, that's when my freedom started coming. See,
yes.
I had to tell the truth on the inward part. God already knew what happened. He knew. He saw it. But I had to tell the truth.
That's
See,
right.
we like to tell part of the story. We don't want to tell all of the story, because
you know, we don't really want to look bad, and we want the other person to look bad, or whatever the case is. But God deals with truth. God can't deal with us if we're going to keep lying, or we're going to keep hiding part of the truth. If you're hiding part of the truth, it's lying anyway. He's not going to deal with us with that. He's going to deal with us when we are ready to tell the truth and deal with it. Like, I mean, you know, if I hadn't have been with that man in that hotel room, he would not have raped me. Why was I in the hotel room with him? Okay? I was already wrong because I was committing adultery. I was already wrong. But when we got in there and he did that, I was able to tell people, oh, he did that. But God's like, no.
What was your part in it?
Yeah, until I dealt with that, I couldn't get free because I was lying on the inward part. I was still hiding stuff, you know. And please, let me put this out there. I'm not saying that everybody that gets raped, it was their fault. I'm talking about something that you said, Apostle Brenda, that we have to tell the truth, okay? This is what I'm talking about. I'm telling the truth about what happened to me, all right?
But the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee.
Yes.
Well, if you're not resisting him, if you're constantly allowing him to lie to you, if you're constantly flowing in delusion and listening to, you know, his justifies, well, she said this and she said that, and you should have did this. And you, well, come on. It's growing. It's mounting. It's getting deeper.
This was something that happened while I was in the church. This is something that happened. I was going to church. Every time the church doors opened, I was there.
Come on.
And it was the pastor of that particular church.
Come on.
Okay, and, you know, he threatened my life. He threatened my children's life and said, you better not never tell anybody because I'll kill your kids. Okay, my kids are grown. My oldest boy is 29 years old. All right, I carried that thing for a long time. But God finally, he was allowed to come in and heal me. He was allowed because I finally told the truth. And this is what I wanted to say to people, and you brought it out. That we have to tell the truth. We have to deal with it, and it hurts. It hurts. It hurts to know that I was a liar for all those years.
Come on now.
Okay? That I can sit here and say that I was a liar for all these years, like trying to make it look like all of this happened and it really actually happened another way. I lied all those years. God couldn't heal me. He couldn't deliver me because I was still lying. And the bad thing about it was, when I asked God to set me free, I was still lying to him, even though he knew I was lying, but I was still lying to him. Well, God, you know what he did, and God, you know that. Hey, God, come on. God sees past all of that anyway, but he wants us to tell the truth.
That's right.
That's what he wants. He wants the truth on the inward part. That's what I like about David when he said that in the book of Psalms. He said God desires truth on the inward part.
That's what he
said. When he sinned with Bathsheba, he said, I sinned. I did this thing that was evil in your sight. He didn't blame Bathsheba.
No.
He didn't blame Uriah for having such a beautiful wife. He said he did it, even though he didn't repent right away. Okay? He repented anyway. And the sins that we, the things that we do, that's like my husband loves to teach about. We sin, and the sin, our family suffers because of our sins. David's family went through pure hell.
It did. They did.
His family went through hell. You know, he went through so many things.
Mm-hmm. Over he confront the, pastor because he would not confront evangelists. We have to confront.
If we have to do that, if we want to be free, and this is what I'm saying to you tonight, if you're bound by alcohol, tell God, I'm still drinking. I like to drink, but I want to be delivered. Some people say, I don't know why I drink. Yes, you do.
You like it.
You know why you drink. You like it, and you want to keep drinking. You like the way it makes you feel.
Right.
Because like you said, whom the sun sets free is free indeed. If we really want to be free, we want to go. We want to do whatever it takes for us to really be free. We want to do. And for some people, they don't take all of that, Apostle Brenda. They haven't been raped and molested and all this other stuff. So it doesn't take all of that. Some people just simply say, I surrender.
That's it.
I just surrender. Look, Lord, here I am. here I am, I surrender. And I've said it so many times at the altar in church. I've said it so many times in prayer meeting. I've said it so many times when the prophet and the pastor has called me up to the front and said, Teresa, the Lord desires to heal you. Just surrender. And I've said it out of my mouth, but in my heart, no.
It wasn't in your heart.
It wasn't in my heart. I was saying it because somebody else told me to say it. But Lord have mercy, on that day in this room, when God began the healing process, I'm telling you, I screamed. My husband, he was in another room. He said, are you okay? Are you okay? And I couldn't even answer him. But he knew that because of the way I was screaming and crying out to God, that God was doing something inside of me. Because it wasn't a normal thing. And it tried to scare me. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm saying this for a reason, because sometimes people will feel God begin to move in them and they'll clam up. You know, they'll resist it. They'll resist God, but not the devil. They'll resist God. The Bible says, draw not to God. Draw not to him. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, a lot of people want to just say, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. It says, draw not to God. You got to draw not to him. Then we can resist the devil and he'll flee from us. But we can't resist the devil if we're still playing with the devil. I thought I was doing something. No, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Wasn't doing nothing. He wasn't running from me.
Because
I was still in his playground. I was still playing patty cake with him.
Right.
You know, we was in the playground together doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people do, you know? And they want to keep saying, oh, well, one person told me when God get ready to deliver me, then he will. Huh? They said when God get ready to deliver me, then he will. You don't
hear
have
that
any,
all the time.
You
they're
don't
not
have
ready. They like where they are.
Yeah. So that's your excuse. Well, God will heal me when he get ready. Okay, keep letting the devil lie to you and tell you that because you will die in your sin. Then what? We can't blame God if we die in our sin. We can't blame God because God prods us. He sends people to us. He shows us our sin. He tells us, come to me and I will deliver you. I will help you. I will heal you. He tells us that stuff.
Pastor, and then Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not of.
But we refuse.
Time to call unto him.
It's time.
And let God fill you.
It's time. I, you know, I'm going to share this link with people so they can hear this broadcast, because I know people who need to hear this broadcast, I need to listen to it over again. Because even though Jesus says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed, you know, you always have temptation coming your way. You always have the enemy lurking around trying to, you know, bring something to your attention or try to, you know, cause you to fall this way or cause you to fall that way. But I tell you what, we serve a mighty God on tonight. We serve a mighty God on tonight. And I don't know. Honey, if you have something to say, will you please press 1 and I'll get you on the line because my husband's been listening. He's been in the chat room, too, speaking as well. Do you have anything to say, honey? Okay, he must not have anything to say right now. But we have 15 minutes left, Apostle. If you want to say anything else to the listeners, go ahead and do that right now.
Well, Pastor, I really don't know what else to say except for them to be encouraged that, you know, to be led by God, because truly God leads his people, his sheep, and for them to understand that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture, and God will lead us and lead you out of where you are if you just follow. So, you know, as evangelists and the bishops on the line and as they're on this air every week, you know, instead you learn strength and follow them as they follow Christ. You know, try to steer it by the Spirit. And you know, it's good to follow people that are transparent, people that are not ashamed of God, people that will tell you the whole truth and nothing but people that will expose where they were and where they are now and where they yet anticipate going. God is good. I just love him. And I tell you, I purpose to serve him all the days of my life.
Amen. We must continue. We'll have you back on the air again. We'll have you back on the broadcast again very soon, because I think this is a message about being free that we need to keep spreading this message about being free, because there's so many people still bound up for whatever reason. I don't know what the reasons are, but you know, there are people are just bound. And I was sitting with someone today and listening to them speak, and they were saying how you know, they were taking some pills and how they were drinking, and my heart just broke. Like, God is sitting right here waiting for you with open arms. Like, can you just turn to God, you know? And you have people that say, well, you've tried everything else, now try God. Why don't we try him first?
How about that?
Why don't we seek him first? The Bible tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto us. But we seek him last. Everything else comes before him. And then when we get in trouble, then we want to say, God, deliver me from this and deliver me from that. And he's trying to keep us from having to go that way. He's trying to keep us from having to go through some of the things that we go through, but we just won't trust him. And I'm speaking from experience, because, ooh, honey, let me tell you something. If I wrote a book, if you wrote a book, if we wrote books about the things that God has brought us through, I don't know.
Well, I'm actually in the process of writing a book that's called The Intricacies of Life, and it's about the hard knocks and bruises, the hard knock life, you know, but the victory in Christ Jesus. So I just ask that you guys will pray for me as I begin to write.
Amen. God bless you. I think we're on the same road with that. I just want to see if my husband, honey, are you listening? Okay, I don't know what happened with him, but he's not hearing me right now. So we're just going to end the broadcast right now. We want to, Apostle, where's your church located? What are your service times?
3857 Frankfurt Avenue and Frankfurt section of Philadelphia. Service is at 11:30 on Sunday morning.
3857 Frankfurt?
Mm-hmm. Frankfurt Avenue.
All right. All right. And services at 11:30?
Yes.
Do you have
services are at 11:30 on Sunday. And I have a prayer line, prayer network at 12 a.m. and at 8 p.m. Thursday and Friday. Give you the number to that line, the light. And so, you know, we just met with prayer and we pray for the needs of God's people. Yeah. Believe in God, great things.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, so we will be back on the air, Lord willing, on Wednesday at 7 p.m. I was really trying to get my husband on the line, but that's okay. We are going to go ahead and close out in prayer. And just thank you, Apostle Brenda, for coming on. And again, I apologize for the miscommunication. We just thank God, because I believe that someone's going to hear this word and be saved on tonight. I believe that someone's going to be free, whether they listen on tonight or they'll listen in the archives. I believe that this word was sent for somebody to get saved and somebody to get set free. I believe it with my whole heart.
Amen.
And I thank God for it. And
come back as the lepers.
Yes, yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you to say thank you, Lord God. Father, I just want to thank you for the word that came forth. Father, I thank you because it's a healing word, Lord God. It's a word that really came forth for people to be set free. So, Father, I just thank you on tonight. I bless your name. I praise your name. I thank you for every person who is going to listen to this broadcast and who's going to be set free. I mean, really set free. Father, I pray for those, Lord God, who are struggling right now, Lord God, with telling the truth within themselves. Lord God, those that are dealing with lying, all these years they've been lying because they want to hold on to whatever they've been wanting to hold on.
God, I pray for them that they hear this word and be set free tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I just pray, Lord God, that the deceiving spirits, Lord God, that whatever spirit is holding them back from being free tonight, that they will be released from that spirit in the name of Jesus, that they can go forth and be free, Lord God. And not just for themselves, though, that they might, their testimony might be able to free somebody else, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Father, I just thank you and praise you right now, God. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray in particular for one person, Lord God. And, Lord, you know who she is, Lord God. And you know, Lord God, I just pray for her tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. I pray for her mind that you will deliver her, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I just pray, oh God, that the recurring dreams, Lord God, in this, the whatever it is that's keeping her bound, Lord God, that you will release her from that, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Father, I pray for her deliverance, Lord God. She needs to be delivered, Lord God. She needs to be set free, oh God, in Jesus' name, Father. And I just lift her up to you right now, God. Father, I cry out to you on her behalf, Lord God, for her. Lord God, she's weak right now and she can't even do it of herself. But God, I just ask you in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Oh God, that you would send healing and deliverance to her, God, in the name of Jesus. God, that even before she picks up that next drink, Lord God, that she will hear your Holy Spirit speak to her, God, in the name of Jesus. And not only will she hear your Holy Spirit, but that she will obey, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And Father, I thank you for it now, Lord God. I thank you, 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 Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory to God in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And those are listening, if you are not born again, I would ask you to read the Gospel of John, chapter 3, where it says in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life." I would pray for you, then ask you to read Romans 10, 9, and 10. And I will also ask you to read 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5, it tells us that there is no life other than in Jesus Christ. There's no life. You cannot find life in any other than Jesus. And we have a couple of seconds. Let me just read this right quick because somebody needs to hear this, and I just want to read it. It says, 1 John chapter 5, "And this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." This is 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Okay? "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." There is no life in any other name. There is no life anywhere else but in God's Son, and his Son is Jesus Christ. If you read back in the Gospel of John, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." This is the same Son that he's talking about over in 1 John, that he gave his only begotten Son, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And we just read that eternal life is in his Son. So these two scriptures are complementing each other, and they're telling you the same thing, that life is in the Son. But God loved the world so much that he gave his Son. Would you accept him? Would you accept his Son, Jesus Christ, that you might have eternal life, that you might have everlasting life? I tell you, there's no life in that liquor. There's no life in that drug. There's no life in that sex. There's no life in that money. There's no life in whatever you're looking into other than Jesus Christ. I don't care what religion that you've been in or haven't been in or whatever the case is. There's no life other than in Jesus Christ. There's no name other under heaven whereby men must be saved other than the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
There is no name. I don't care. It's Jesus.
Glory.
It's him. It's Jesus. There is no other name. It's Jesus. And I want to read it into your hearing, Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, 9 and 10. I want you to hear the word of God, because it's not us. It's the word of God. And there's life in the word. And Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And Romans 10 says, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He's telling you to believe. You don't have to come to him in any form or fashion. You just have to believe on Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And once you begin to believe on him, you begin to study about who this Jesus person is. You begin to study about the Son of God. You will begin to see your life change. But life is in him. That's the only way you're going to find life is in Jesus Christ. And I offer this Jesus to you tonight. I offer this Jesus to you. Won't you accept him? Won't you accept him? Won't you accept him? See, I want to tell you this. Satan has nothing to offer you but eternal damnation. Anything that Satan has to offer you has no good end to it. Trust me, believe me, what I'm telling you right now, that Satan has nothing to offer you but eternal damnation. And he's not going to bring it to you as, okay, I'm offering you the lake of fire. He's not going to bring it that way. He's going to offer you things and show you things and tempt you with things that make it look like it's okay to do this and do that. Okay? But the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of that way is destruction. But see, if you go into Psalm 103, verse 4, it says that God has delivered our life from destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He has delivered our life from destruction. So will you please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I offer him to you. He will wash you. He will cleanse you. He will purge you. He will heal you. He will deliver you. He will set you free. And that's what this whole broadcast was about tonight, for being set free. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Apostle Brenda, we love you. We thank you so much. For joining us, and we're going
to
have you back on the broadcast very soon. I mean, like, very soon. And we're going to do a two-hour broadcast because I'm going to see if I can get some more people to call in that I definitely know need to hear this word. But in the meantime, I'm going to send you the link so you can post it to whoever you believe needs to listen to this. All right? And
all right.
We'll be in touch. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on the phone line. Thank you, everyone, for joining us in the chat room. And God bless you. If you know anybody who needs to be saved, you know anybody who needs to be set free, please share this link with them. God bless you. God bless you. And good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.